Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show. Filling in for Brian, I'm Juan Manuel Benitez of New York One Noticias. American voters voted November 8th for change. Change that is making a lot of people happy. Change that is scaring some people. In the next few minutes, we're going to talk about what kind of impact does Trump's victory have on the gay community. With us now is Sarah Kate Ellis. She's the president and CEO of GLAAD, the world's LGBTQ media advocacy organization. Today, GLAAD launched the Trump Accountability Project, which aims to be a resource for newsmakers reporting on the Trump administration. Sarah, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Sarah, let's start with the Trump Accountability Project. What is that?
Basically, what this does is catalog the anti-LGBTQ statements and actions from the president-elect Donald Trump and those in his inner circle, both his cabinet picks and advisors. And it's really it's sourcing this back to the people who and from the original source, so what came from their mouths. These are direct sources. And so I think it's a very incredibly cluttered news cycle, and it's very hard for journalists to keep up with the amount of stories coming out of Trump. And so this helps streamline it from an LGBTQ standpoint and really gives them a way to hold him accountable and his advisors accountable on the things that they're saying.
So basically, at GLAAD, you're going to gather all this information and try to make it available for journalists like myself.
Exactly. Well, we have it. It's available. It's on GLAAD.org. And it's available to journalists because we work in the media, GLAAD does. But it's also available to every American citizen, every American person, so that they could see what is being said and what's the truth. Because I think it's really hard to keep track of it. This is also very much an unprecedented project for GLAAD, but I feel that we're in such an unprecedented time. We don't usually go down any sort of political route, but we're in a very new reality, and for the LGBTQ community, it is really important that we're protecting the achievements that we've had and the progress that we've made over the past decade, and they are being very much threatened under this administration. And so this is one of our tactics to start to help shine a light on that and bring awareness to it.
So, Sarah, would you have created the same resource if Hillary Clinton had won the election?
If Hillary Clinton were surrounding herself with anti-LGBTQ activists and people, yes, we absolutely would have. This is in response to what we're seeing happening and the direct threat to our rights as a community. So, you know, that wasn't a part of her platform when she was running, so I would have been surprised had she been elected if that would have then become part of her platform. But this was, you know, even just bringing on Mike Pence, who is pound for pound one of the most anti-LGBTQ politicians out there, is a signal and a sign of where we're headed.
So how would you characterize the feeling within the LGBTQ community right now with Trump about to become president?
I think that we are seeing the community mobilize like we haven't ever seen before because people are very, very concerned about their rights being taken away, which is incredibly un-American. So we're mobilizing around that. And we're concerned. So, you know, I think it is we're in a protect and fight mode, which is protect what we have gained. in terms of rights, and then fight for those that are going to be diminished as we move along with this administration.
We would like to hear also from our listeners. Maybe some of them belong to the LGBTQ community. We want to hear how you're feeling right now about the prospect of a Trump presidency. You can give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692. And Sarah, even Donald Trump said himself, like, listen, I'm a friend of the LGBTQ community, and I even mentioned the community in my nomination speech at the RNC in Cleveland.
Right, right. Yes. His record has been, in all fairness, a bit of a roller coaster. I would argue that it's getting less and less thrilling as we move along, and that it's there's not one single policy proposal he has promised to advance that would further the rights or protections of the LGBTQ community. And as we see the people that he's surrounding himself, from Pence to Bannon, it's people who are staunchly opposed to LGBTQ people and their rights. So, he says one thing and then he acts in another way in terms of bringing around top consultants. So it's a mixed message, and that's why we started this accountability project, because it is a mixed message that people are getting, and we wanted to cut through that message and make sure that the truth was getting out there.
So, Sarah, you wrote in a recent op-ed, and I quote, "It is deeply concerning how many people, organizations, and media outlets are now willing to excuse or simply overlook the hateful records of Trump and those in his widening circle." What media outlets are you most disappointed with, and why?
I couldn't target any, but I think just to go back to what you were saying, which was his 60 Minutes interview, right, where he was unchallenged on the fact where he said, you know, same-sex marriage is done, I'm not going after that. Yet he talks about, he never was challenged with the fact that the Supreme Court justices he's looking at directly want to dismantle same-sex marriage. So I think that's the challenge that we're looking for, and we know that when we inform the media and the journalists more, when they feel better equipped to challenge these statements, that they will challenge them. And so that's the kind of reporting that we want to see more and more of at GLAAD.
Okay, let's hear from some of our callers. So we have Alex in Jefferson Township in New Jersey. Alex, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, good morning.
Tell us, how are you feeling?
Nervous. I'm very nervous.
Tell us your situation.
I'm engaged in a 5-year relationship with lovely man. And since Trump was elected, I'm just nervous that my future marriage to him, you know, may either not happen at all, or, you know, it'll happen and, you know, be revoked. They'll just take it away.
So do you think, Alex, that might be a possibility? Because like Sarah just said, Trump is saying, well, that's the law of the land right now. I'm not trying to change that. Gay marriage is what it is right now, and the Supreme Court settled the case.
Well, he himself may not do it, but the fact that he's surrounding himself with a bunch with, you know, anti-LGBT staff, especially Pence, you know, I'm... not so much Trump, I feel, is going to take it away, but I feel like he'll listen to, or his supporters will try and influence him in other ways.
Okay, thank you so much, Alex. We're going to hear from Desiree in Park Slope. Desiree, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Good morning. I just wanted to say a couple of things. First, Donald Trump rides on plausible deniability, right? So he doesn't have to say that he's anti-LGBT because he surrounds himself with people who are, and their record is actually very clear. Donald Trump may not have a record or public service, but the people that he is suggesting as being members of his cabinet do. And so we know exactly what they believe in. They believe in conversion therapy. They believe that being gay or lesbian is a sin. They believe that LGBT people are freaks, transgender people are freaks. These are their words, not the media's words, not my words. So, you know, I feel like what the people who support Trump need to understand is that, yes, it is true that we all need to have a job, I need a place to live, and we need to feel secure with our financial status, but LGBT people can't feel secure with any of those things if mm-hmm. our right to exist is constantly being compromised. And if Trump doesn't say it or do it himself, he's got plenty of people in his pocket who are willing to do it for him. And some of those people are gay people. That's true, because being self-hating is not something that, you know, doesn't affect gay people.
Thank you very much, Desiree. Like I said in the introduction, Americans voted for change, and maybe one of the positions where we're going to see more change is at the top of the Justice Department. Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama, he has an extremely conservative record. He is a nominee, Trump's nominee to head the Justice Department. He will be replacing Loretta Lynch, right now the head of the Justice Department, the Attorney General. Let's listen to some of her words a few months ago.
Now let me also speak directly to the transgender community itself. Some of you have lived freely for decades, and others of you are still wondering how you can possibly live the lives that you were born to lead. But no matter how isolated, no matter how afraid, and no matter how alone you may feel today, know this, that the Department of Justice, and indeed the entire Obama administration, want you to know that we see you, we stand with you, and we will do everything we can to protect you going forward.
So, Sarah, do you think that the transgender community is that community within the larger LGBTQ community, the one that has more to worry about with the new Trump administration coming in January?
I think, you know, I don't want to put anyone's worries against anybody else's worries. I don't think that's necessary. But I do think that there are absolute risks. There's the bathroom bill issues that are percolating across the country. There's one going to the Supreme Court or has been raised to the Supreme Court. And that's detrimental to the community. And not letting somebody use they just want to go to the bathroom at the end of the day. And making this a political fighting ground is just is diminishing people
because
and their needs.
Sarah, I'm sure you've heard the argument, even within the Democratic Party, that they lost the election. Hillary Clinton lost the election because the party was too concerned with, quote, bathrooms instead of offering some economic message to Americans. What do you think about that argument?
I think not much of that, honestly. You know, when somebody doesn't have their dignity, and especially within the transgender community, you're talking about one of the most marginalized communities in this country who has the highest unemployment rate. So talk about jobs. They need jobs. They can't even get jobs because people are so busy discriminating against them. And so I take that really with a grain of salt, that discussion.
But you've heard the argument, correct?
Pardon?
You've heard the argument, this argument.
Oh, I have. And I just think the dots haven't been connected to the fact that you can't, you know, we all have to put meals on our table. We LGBTQ community lives all over this country. We live in the Rust Belt. We live in the Bible Belt. We live in the urban communities. We live in the suburban communities. And so we are a part of every community. And I think that's really important to point out, because we have economic hardships as well. But we are talking about the right to exist in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so that will always be a bigger imperative at some level. But I the Democrats and you know, how Hillary ran her campaign is not what I want to comment on so much as that I think that the bathroom bills are not something that we as an LGBT community made us think about. There was no inciting incident. Nothing
right.
ever happened that started to make people concerned about using the bathroom. This was a political maneuver that started a discussion that didn't even need to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Transgender people have been using the bathroom that they identify with for decades and
right.
they're without incident.
Let's hear from Diana in the Upper East Side. Diana, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning.
Good morning. I love you, Juan. You're great.
Thank you, Diana.
My name is Diana Montford. I do a talk show on cable. I'm transgender. I'm worried, and we, the trans community, are worried about social services. So many trans people depend on public assistance to survive. They depend on medical services for their hormones, for various surgeries. We, naturally enough, are afraid that new Supreme Court justices will just make a blanket statement that it is illegal in any way, shape, or form to give government services to trans people when it has to do with trans issues. What do you think will happen?
Thank you, Diana. Sarah?
I think that's what we're on the front lines fighting for right now, and that's why our first initiative out was around this accountability project, because all of these rights and all of our dignities are on the line right now as the LGBTQ community. And so I agree. We are very concerned about all of what Diane just said, and we're fighting for them, and we're organizing around them.
Thank you. We're going to hear from Sherry in Manhattan. Sherry, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because my partner and I are not waiting for Donald Trump to roll back our rights. We were thinking of maybe doing something in April in terms of getting married, legitimizing our rights as a couple. But seeing this, we're going to do something hopefully before January.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust him. I don't trust the people certainly he has surrounded himself with, especially Mike Pence, who has a horrendous gay, lesbian record. And also, for the most part, I am a Democrat, and I don't trust the Democrats. I'm going to be registering as soon as I can to be an independent. I don't want to associate with either side. I think the Democrats are going to roll over for Trump and all his stuff in
mm-hmm.
the mistaken thought that if they do, then they'll get things that people need, and that's not how it's going to be. They should have seen that the Republicans don't negotiate. They haven't negotiated with Obama these last 8 years. And
mm-hmm.
I think the Democrats are going to roll over the way my cats do when I shake a bag of treats.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, and good luck, and congratulations if you decide to finally get married in January instead of April. We're going to hear from John in City Island, the Bronx. John, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. Thank you so much. I love your show. I am a Republican, and I did vote for Donald Trump. I'm also a recovering drug addict and have been in 12-step programs for 26 years. I know what it's like to be discriminated against. I have many gay friends through the program, and I listen to their shares and their fears about what's going on with this, with the election and with Donald Trump taking office. But I also firmly believe that Donald Trump, I don't really think he cares about this so much as he cares more about creating jobs. And Donald Trump has a huge ego. And I also think that this is not something he wants to create enemies with, taking away people's rights. I really feel that right now everyone's nervous because it's the unknown, and we're all afraid. We're all afraid of the unknown.
Are you, John, afraid, even if you voted for Donald Trump?
Of course I'm a little. I drive an Uber right now. I lost my job. I lost my career due to the economy, due to changes in the economy, and due to my drug use
mm-hmm.
5 years ago. I relapsed, and I lost my job. Now, it's not Obama's fault.
Right.
I have to always look at myself for these things and look deep down inside. Now, is Obama going to fix John? No. Or is Donald Trump going to fix John? No. I have to look inside to fix myself. and to take care of myself. No one's going to do it for me.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you.
I just wanted to say to John, first of all, congratulations on your recovery. But I just wanted to point out that I think that that is the scariest part of Donald Trump, is that he surrounds himself with people who do have a lot of hate against the LGBTQ community, and have, in both their words and their actions in policy, pushed policy against the LGBTQ community. And when you watch Donald Trump and the way that he interacts and the way that he's reported on, you know, he is only as good as the last person who spoke to him. And we do talk a lot about here about the group that he's surrounding himself with. And I think that is the key to this, is the group that he's surrounding himself with.
Thank you, Sarah. We're going to hear from Levi in Brooklyn. Levi, good morning, and welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Tell us.
My comment is simple. In my experience, what's missing from this dialogue when we talk about promoting and protecting the rights of the LGBTQ community is understanding the other side. So I understand that we have to protect the rights of those who are marginalized, but the people who we think are against these things, are they coming from a religious perspective? And are we doing what we can to respect that and to promote their religious well-being and their fundamental rights as well? That's not to marginalize either group, but that's to say, how can we come together?
Thank you very much, Levi. Sarah, how can we get together in those issues?
Well, I think that's a very good point. Yes, a lot of this is rooted in religion. And I think that no one's religious freedom has ever been at stake here. It's very protected, religious freedom. But what religion is used as in this case, and in the case of politics, is as a weapon against a group. And if I'm married to my wife, you know, that's our decision. That's the life that we're living. And that doesn't and shouldn't affect somebody else. And if you're serving the public, then you need to be able to serve the public. And so I am all for coming together and having discussions, but I think that it gets dangerous when we talk about religion and government.
We'll have to leave it there with Sarah Kate Ellis. She is the president and CEO of GLAAD, the world's LGBTQ media advocacy organization. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. And up next, we're going to talk about our favorite books of 2016. We want to know what your favorite book this year was. So stay with us.